Starting this month, motorized boats in the Adirondacks need to be inspected for invasive species before they can be launched into water in the region. This requirement is a step up from past practices when boaters were simply encouraged to take advantage of inspection and cleaning sites. To discuss the ramifications of this requirement and how it can best be implemented, we're checking in with John Sheehan, Director of Communications for the Adirondack Council. Welcome back to the show, John.
Thank you, David.
Well, I briefly mentioned the requirements that took effect on June 8th for Adirondack waters, but can you elaborate on the rules and how boaters go about actually complying with the new law?
Sure. I think a lot of people are confused because there are so many lakes in the Adirondacks and clearly not enough inspectors to be at each and every one of those all the time. So the state has set up a network of inspection stations, both at the entrances to the park on the major highways and near major water bodies, with signage that tells people where they can find it. And essentially, folks, before launching, have to be sure that they have had the boat inspected and cleaned to ensure that there are no hitchhikers on it that could infect the waters that they're going to with a new species that could be damaging to the lake's ecosystem.
Yeah, you mentioned hitchhikers. What are the invasive threats that the state is trying to stop? Are there just a handful of different critters and plants that we're worried about? Or is there a cornucopia of different things we should be concerned about?
It's really the latter. There are a lot of things out there in waters around the Adirondacks that have been introduced accidentally, for the most part, from other parts of the world, that can really change a lake ecosystem in a place that, like an Adirondack pond or a lake, that is essentially a closed system. And once something gets in, it's really, really tough to get it back out again. People may be experienced with the idea of pond reclamation in the Adirondacks, where places where non-native fish had been introduced by the release of bait fish. That generally involves killing just about everything with gills in the water and starting over, which is really a very, very heavy-handed way of managing an ecosystem. So we'd really rather avoid having to ever do that. In the case of lakes where we have things like Eurasian milfoil or hydrilla, which are plant life that comes from another part of the world, the response has really been to try to carefully remove it if we can, to try and prevent its reintroduction into those places. But hand harvesting and slightly more careful methods have been pretty successful of late, and we're hopeful that they continue to be.
Because of the size and scope of the Adirondacks and the existing personnel that the state has in the region, it's impossible to police every body of water with personnel on site. But what does happen if, say, an environmental conservation officer is present for a motorized boat going into water and there hasn't been an inspection or cleaning or prior to being deployed? Is there any sort of punishment that can be levied against the boater?
There is. I suspect in the initial stages of this that we will see more explanation than fining going on.
The education process that state regulators like to rely on so often.
If that proves to be working, I think that we will see that continue to be the method. But like with firewood and the ban on moving it more than 50 miles, it's relatively easy for the state to do a spot check here and there to ensure that compliance is actually happening. In those cases, I think that it's likely that you'll see some enforcement out and a warning at the beginning, but that after the first year, it's likely that there will not be excuses accepted any longer that people don't recognize or realize that the law is in place. So I'm hopeful that people are getting educated on that right now. And one thing that I think is stopping a lot of folks from boating at the moment is that the gas price is so high. Inspections are really targeted toward trailered boats, and those folks pay considerably more than the curbside gas price when they go to the marina to buy gas for the boat. So it's likely to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 a gallon at a lot of places right now. And I think that that's kept lakes pretty quiet the last couple of weekends. And until something happens to reverse that trend, I think that we may see a slower boating season this year than we have in years past.
And is there a reason why these requirements only apply to motorized boats? Do they represent some sort of bigger threat when it comes to spreading invasive species?
They do. The combination of the trailer itself getting into the aquatic vegetation and the boat's motor and water intakes, depending on the type of boat that you have, whether it's an outboard that needs water to cool it, or it's a jet boat that actually sucks water through and pushes it out to propel the boat. Water gets into the system and sometimes can contain species that remain alive even in the bilge water, and can be accidentally reintroduced in the next place that you travel to. So trailered boats are the biggest concern, but folks who are traveling from lake to lake in canoes and kayaks really are encouraged to try and clean off their hulls as well, especially if they know that they're in waters where something like a spiny water flea or another microscopically sized invasive species is present in the lake. Great Sacandaga, for example, has spiny water flea. Lake Champlain has it as well. But most of the interior lakes in the park do not. So try and educate yourself on what's in the water that you're already recreating in, and try and keep from introducing anything new.
For listeners just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking about regulations that went into effect recently requiring motorized boaters to have their boats inspected and cleaned prior to being launched into waters in the Adirondacks. And our guest is John Sheehan, Director of Communications for the Adirondack Council. When you think about going from a voluntary process to a requirement, are you expecting there to be a big change in compliance? I mean, how effective were the voluntary inspections and cleanings that we had before?
We had done some testing at the high traffic locations and found that a disconcertingly large number of people were not stopping voluntarily, even though it took only a couple of minutes to have the entire inspection and decontamination process take place. People were just in a hurry to get to where they were going. And so switching from a voluntary to a mandatory system is very likely to be more effective, and also very likely to not be much of an inconvenience to people. These locations are very easy to find. The entire process is simple and free, and you'll only be detained a couple of minutes as people, even if they have to remove something from your boat, do their work. And these are nice folks. They're out there to help people, and I think that the entire process is rather pleasant.
Yeah, who is actually responsible for doing the inspections and cleaning? Who's manning these sites?
It's being overseen by the Department of Environmental Conservation, but the actual work is being carried out by the Adirondack Watershed Institute and the Adirondack Park Invasive Plant Program. These two entities, with the Watershed Institute handling much of the boat inspection portion of this, have really done a terrific job in building up the network. I have to caution, though, that there are still a lot of jobs available out there. They're recruiting actively right now. They would, they're paying $15 an hour to be a boat inspector. There are some terrific water bodies that need inspectors on them right now that they don't have people for yet. We're hopeful that in the next week or so that these jobs will get filled, especially as summer in school comes around and high school kids are available to do this as well. But I think it's really for people of any age that are interested in a job that gets them outside talking to folks and gives you an opportunity to spend the day at the lake a couple of times a week.
Well, Does a lack of personnel potentially limit the amount of hours or number of sites that can be open for inspections and cleanings?
Yes, it can, and it can make it harder to find a place in the specific location that you're going to. So we're hopeful that these get filled quickly. A couple of them are in places that are very popular with boaters. Great Sacandaga Lake being one of those, both the Broad Alban and Town of Day inspection stations needed personnel last we heard. They may have been filled by now, but Lake Luzerne, Long Lake, Racket Lake, and Paseco also were looking for folks to work in their boat launches. And St. Regis Mountain still needed a summit steward last time that we were checking in with those folks. So that's a program that helps to protect mountaintops. And it's another nice way to spend the summer if you're looking for a job that's not particularly taxing in terms of difficulty, but can really be rewarding in terms of interaction with people and chance to get out in nature.
And we talked about the effort to educate boaters about this on a case-by-case basis, as you might do like spot checks. But is there other stuff the state is doing to educate people about this requirement? And is there additional advertising or marketing that you'd like to see them do to help spread awareness about this requirement?
Yes, the state has been working with the Nature Conservancy and others to put up signage at the boat launches to leave education materials at campgrounds and other places where people travel to with their boats. But we'd love to see an expansion of that. Certainly, we are continuing with our membership to make sure that they are well educated on this topic. And I expect that other environmental and conservation organizations are doing the same thing. But we could always use a little more education on this stuff until it becomes second nature to people. I know that even with fishing licenses, initially there was some period of acceptance that was necessary before we went fully into the requirement. And that may have happened a long time ago, so people don't quite remember that. But each of the protections that we have in place for Adirondack ecosystems had to be essentially designed and approved by the public before it was allowed to be used. So this is an encouraging step, and one where we're very hopeful that this will prevent a number of lakes from ever having to deal with the fact that there are species in it that don't belong.
Well, we've been speaking with John Sheehan. He is the Director of Communications for the Adirondack Council. John, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.